Hello and welcome to What a Scream, the horror movie podcast where I, your host, Egrain, chats with a special guest about horror films. And we discuss a certain subject that I have previously chosen, and we chat about two films that have to do with that subject. So this week, returning guest, Brad Hansen. I basically bullied him to come on this episode, but he's a big wrestling fan, so I thought, what better subject should I get Brad back on then to do a wrestlers in horror episode? So yes, we are discussing two films. We are talking about 2006 See No Evil starring Kane, and then we are talking about 2019's A Girl on the Third Floor, or just Girl on the Third Floor. It's not a girl, it's just Girl. Girl on the Third Floor, directed by Travis Stevens from 2019, starring CM Punk. I'm not gonna lie, I was a wrestler girly back in the day. However, looking back and being absolutely honestly truthful with myself, it was more than likely because of the tight pants. Not gonna lie, my early 20s were a very lonely time of my life. So yes, I hope you enjoy this chat with myself and Brad Hansen about wrestling and horror. So I am very happy to welcome back to the podcast. That didn't sound happy, but I am. I'm happy deep down to welcome back to the podcast. Brad Hansen, how are you?
I'm very unhappy to be here. Thank you for welcoming me back. I mean, this all came off the back of me submitting a question to the Evolution of Horrors sort of year in review quiz, Christmas quiz, or however you want to call it. And I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think anything would be, you know, it was just an innocuous question. And then the next thing I know, you're screaming at me in the DMs. Back you come. Another specialist subject.
Let's go. Yes. I mean, I don't mean to be victim blaming, but you definitely brought this on yourself.
I did. This is completely my fault. Yes.
So before we get onto that subject, what have you been up to since the last month or two since I chatted to you?
It's just been the festive period, isn't it? Which means overeating, underindulging, watching loads of Christmas movies, you know, feeling festive, cooking for an entire family, which was stressful. The new year came and went, and you know, we're back on the grind, baby. We're back watching, you know, all the best and brightest films of 2024. You know, I'm very excited. I've got Poor Things this week. I'm sure nice. You're chomping at the bit to see that as well this week.
I am. I'm like, we are recording in January, so Night Swim has just come out and I kind of want to see it, even though it's getting terrible reviews.
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, have you? Is it terrible?
Diabolical. Swim plausibly bad.
Sinks very bad.
Pathetic.
And how is your own podcast doing?
It's doing all right. Yeah, we just did a like year in review thing. Despite the fact that we're a retro podcast, we decided to. I wasn't happy about it. I was dragged out of retirement, and then we're starting season two. Maybe next month when we can be asked to get guests and everything together and have an idea. And fingers crossed season two will be better. We can always hope that the difficult second season isn't that difficult.
I'm sure it'll be great. So let's talk about then the subject, which is kind of weird because, like, you know, when we talked about metal, it was like, what do you think about metal in horror? But this subject is wrestlers in horror. Yes. Which there's kind of quite a lot in. But I guess what I'm trying to get at is, like, do you think there's much of a connection between horror and wrestling?
Yes.
Okay.
I do. So I've been a big wrestling proponent effectively my entire life. And I don't want to say that I've studied the art of wrestling, because one simply could never get to the end, you know, the ends of the earth of kayfabe and everything else that goes on behind the scenes. But wrestling itself is a fairly operatic and quite melodramatic thing. And it's also very physical and very combative. And these are sort of words that you would potentially akin to horror, in so much that, you know, there's always some moralistic reason for why there's conflict in a horror film. And there's certainly a moralistic reason why there's conflict in wrestling. And that's, you know, in horror films, they that rears its ugly head in a killer or someone killing on behalf of this moralistic cause. And in wrestling, they compete against each other on an even playing field, so to speak, with a predetermined outcome, obviously. But then there's a predetermined outcome in horror, so it's fine in that regard. So I do see there is a spiritual connection, I think, between getting into little pants and greasing up and rubbing on a man and being chased through a cornfield by a psycho clown. I think there's not that far a stretch between the two.
Yeah, I was into wrestling briefly. So I grew up without any sort of like Sky or anything like that because we were very poor. So I missed that whole thing. And then when I got older, you know, I got I got into it when I started fancying men of that ilk.
Big muscly men.
Yeah, I was at it for, you know, it was the CM Punk and the Bray Wyatt and the kind of guys. And, you know, who doesn't want to watch them, like you said, Robin? Oh, my God, I'm just, like, letting it out now.
I'm gonna milk it out of you.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those where I confess everything. So that era, you know, with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, that was the one where I came into it. And I was like, okay, I can get behind this. And
you've got a type, haven't you? Bloody hell.
I tried dating actual wrestlers and they just... The fantasy was not quite
the reality, is it? No.
No, it wasn't at all. No, they talk a lot about what they eat, which is fine, but when it's just chicken and broccoli, I'm not interested.
When it's not pussy, I'm not interested.
The other white meat. No. So, but then I kind of fell out of it because, you know, I stopped watching basically and seeing an adult. Punk. What's your excuse then, Brad?
I'm not an adult.
But I can definitely see why a lot of wrestlers would attempt to go into acting, because it is an act. Well, not like an act. I don't want to be like, it's all fake, because like, it's real. People get injured.
Mm-hmm.
But there has to be a certain level of acting and characterization and et cetera, et cetera. So I can definitely see the link. And then, of course, we've got people like, you know, the Wyatt brothers were kind of horror-based. And then we've got The Undertaker and Kane. So... yeah, I can definitely see the link there. Were you a fan of the more horror-based wrestlers growing up?
Yeah, so when I got into wrestling was sort of like the early 90s. So I was maybe only like 5 or 6 when that all started. So I was big in The Ultimate Warrior. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't like Papa Shango. I don't know if you remember Papa Shango.
Yeah.
Papa Shango was a voodoo priest. Definitely not ripped off from the voodoo priest from the James Bond film with Timothy Dalton in. Not at all inspired by that at all. But what it was this incredibly problematic racist caricature of like island witch doctor. And he cursed the Ultimate Warrior and made him throw up green stuff. I don't know what it was. And it like altered my brain chemistry and I was terrified of this man. And I went to a WWF at the time, live event when I was like 7, and he came out and I was on the like edge of the barricade and I cowered behind my dad as he came out. I was petrified of him. Anyway, that wrestler went on to become the Godfather, who was a pimp who had a hoe train where he would have a parade of prostitutes that would come out. Same wrestler, same man that cursed my favorite wrestler at the time, later became a... This was in the Attitude Era when you could like do bra and panties matches and have problematic stuff all over the place. It's fine. To answer your question, yeah, I like the horror people. I liked the Wyatt family dynamic. I thought that was interesting. Obviously Kane and the Undertaker, OG horror classics, but Papa Shango is the OG horror man for me.
But not a lot of wrestlers have become successful, say, No. I mean, we've got like The Rock and Dave Bautista, who I also had a crush on for a while as well.
Okay.
yeah, I do have a type. But not a lot of them are wildly successful in their
John's getting up there. Big match, John. Cena. He's doing all right.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, I forgot about him.
How could you
Yeah,
forget? Well, because you
don't
can't
see
see him.
him. Don't see him. Don't see him. So let's kick it off then, I guess, with the first of these delightful films. Do you want to talk about your pick for this episode?
Yes, so there's obviously a dearth of wrestlers in horror films, and some are minor characters in much wider pictures. Some of them are leads, and I decided a film that I'd been thinking about, and when you offered this opportunity up, I was like, I haven't seen this film since it came out, was 2006's See No Evil with the aforementioned Kane.
Hello?
What's that?
Hello? What do you want?
See no evil.
Yeah.
So that's my pick. Did you revisit over the weekend?
I did, yes.
Sorry.
Like, you know
Sorry.
what? It's like an hour and 25 minutes. And I was like, you know what? That is peak
Fine.
horror running time. That is
Yeah.
fine. I hadn't seen it as well since it first came out. And
Yes.
yes, it's very 2006, isn't
Oh, it's of its time. Oh, it's
it?
certainly of its time. To give you a brief plot synopsis for those not fortunate enough to have endured See No Evil. A group of delinquents are sent to clean the Blackwell Hotel, but little do they know that reclusive psychopath Jacob Goodnight has holed away in the rotting hotel. When one of the teens is captured, those who remain band together to survive the brutal killer, who has somewhat of a ocular fixation, I think it's safe to say. He'd give Lucio Fulci a run for his money, dishing out the eye trauma. But Kane stars as the titular Jacob Goodnight, who's kind of mommy's boy, the mommy issues the movie. He's up there with Norman Bates as one of the saddest. He is Norman Bates, but in this one, you get a more literal masturbation scene from a 6'3", 300-pound bald weird man. What did you think upon revisiting See No Evil?
You know what? And this is saying something. I think Kane was the best actor in the whole film.
Easy. I mean, it's not hard.
It's not. He doesn't do a lot.
Doesn't need to, really. The other ones just kind of hang themselves.
Yeah. I really like the original working title of this film, which was I Scream Man. That
Too
is.
similar to the Clint Howard movie. Can't have that.
And the Goodnight Man was the other one as
It's like the pee pee poo poo man, the bye bye man.
but yes, I like I said, it was peak 2006. It was that grimy, Saw looking that everyone was kind of copying after Saw came out in 2004. And it was, I mean, this group of like convicts, like, why would you put them all together? That's the first question.
Yeah,
And
male
then,
and female as
yeah.
well. You would assume at least one of them is a violent sexual deviant. But we don't really, that's kind of a side issue. It's like the Jeepers Creepers logic. It's just like, yeah, just put them all together, it's fine. And they don't really matter. But yeah, for some reason they get like, if they spend 3 nights there cleaning up this hotel, which is going to need way longer than 3 nights to clean up. Like there's no way you could
With
even
more
make
than a
it.
mop. More than a mop and a broom.
No. No amount of Cillit Bang is going to sort that out. But they think, I don't know whether they're doing this in like shifts, like they get, but they basically they do these 3 days and they'll get like a year. Is it a year off their sentence for doing these 3 days? So there's your character motivation. It's pretty paper thin. But then there's two gentlemen looking for, like, treasure. They've heard that there's treasure. So that's one storyline. And then there's one where, like, one of the girls, they did no research into who these people were. One of the girls ratted out one of the boys, so there's beef there. It doesn't make any sense. But does it really need to? Because the whole point is you're supposed to get them to the hotel as quick as possible so that we can start ripping their eyes out.
Yeah.
And he wastes, let's be honest, no muss, no fuss. He gets down to it pretty quickly.
He does. And he's got his little hook that he likes to draw his people in with. And that has some great shots, like when the police officer gets it through the jaw.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. I will give it that kill. It opens with quite a bizarre, you know, quite a bizarre opening that, you know, the police officer and his partner go into just a random, like, house, abandoned house.
Yeah.
Which I can't see the connection then with the hotel after that. That kind of confused me. But yeah, and then there's a girl that survived because she's got...
No eyes.
But he left her alive because she had religious tattoos.
Yes.
And that is his reason for...
That's his big trigger.
Yeah. And it's like... Okay.
Do you think, in a way, this maybe inspired a lot of people to be like, I'm going to err on the side of caution and get one cross.
Just one tribal cross at the small of my back.
One tasteful tribal tramp stamp, just to make sure that if a man kidnaps me, he may not kill me because of my religious iconography. Worth looking at the stats. If there's anyone statting up religious tribal cross tramp stamps in the 2006-2007 era, I'd love to see the data.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to be, unfortunately. But this is atypical of Gregory Dark's direction. Did you delve much into Gregory Dark's...
He's an adult filmmaker, isn't he?
He's a pornman. He's a pornsmith. Massive pornsmith. He has made some classics.
Do you have his titles up there, do you?
I've got some here.
Did you do extra research, did you, Brad?
I spent all night up looking at through Carnal Crimes and New Wave Hookers and The Devil and Miss Jones, and there's one called Limp Bizkits, but it's like a...
Stop it.
Come on a cracker. I'm not joking. It's like a come on a cracker one.
No one wants to watch porno that has a limp in the title.
Well, did Between the it? Cheeks too. Let me tell you about White Chicks.
Oh my God.
There's some wonderful White Bun Busters, of course. Oh, and the sequel, Let Me Tell You About Black Chicks, if you're wondering as well.
Oh my God.
I mean, there's some great stuff here. I mean, he in the 90s was really churning out some wonderful stuff. So what do you expect, really, when WWE Studios, a giantly publicly traded billion-dollar company, decides to hand the reins and the budget to, let's be honest, I'm not going to mince words, a deviant, a sexual deviant, and just said, here is, like, loads of money and one of our biggest stars. It's 2006 at the time, so Kane's, like, just off the world title run he did in 2003, 2004. So he's not like one of, like, the crap wrestlers they've, like, let go. He's one of the faces of the company. And, you know, do you want to make a really violent, misogynistic, weird slasher film that's, like, riding the torture porn wave? And he said, yeah, sure, I'll do that.
I would have loved to have been in the boardroom with him and Vince McMahon.
The pitch meeting.
Yeah.
But Vince probably has seen all the films. That's probably why he got the job. I love your work, kid. I really love Crease Busters.
Him with his little butt chin. So yeah, this film is like high misogynistic. Like, the girls are so two-dimensional. Like, even the men, I'm like, they're not convicts. Like, they're just douche monkeys. Like, especially the guy that's meant to be, like, a bit of a pimp, and, you know, he was kind of pimping his girlfriend out and she whatever, and he's just so, like, he definitely came off the back of a porno audition, like, which is fine, but it's like,
but he doesn't show all...
no
he doesn't show meat in the film, so that's like, bro, what are you here for? If you're not gonna, you know, because there's that creepy scene where we find out that one of the girls has got a massive, massive religious tattoo on her back. Horrible. One of the worst things I've ever seen. And he comes creeping in and he's like, oh, the entitlement jumps out.
Mm-hmm.
She fortunately gets away with him, but then goes, falls directly into bloody Goodnight's clutches. And, you know, the rest of the film then becomes a bit of, is unfortunately a bit rinse and repeat. Like, it's the same thing over again. We find some people Scooby-Dooing around one of the floors of the hotel. He turns up because he turns out he's been using the dumbwaiters to, like, traverse. And then, like, the question is that they say they've cleared this out of all the homeless people. And then we immediately find a homeless person with his eyes ripped out. And then if they've cleared it out, how did they not ever find the room that he's in? The big room that's got money plastered all across.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to assume if there's law enforcement involved, there would have been a sweep because, you know, these are prisoners and I guess that's your job as a law enforcement. But they've just kind of trusted this one guy who's definitely got PTSD. He's definitely, like, you know, got some trauma there. And they're like, it's okay, we'll entrust like 10 convicts with him. And then, you know, just
him and like their teacher for all intents and purposes. And then some weird woman that helps run the hotel. Nothing to look into there. I'm sure she won't be relevant later on in the
not info. At all. So it turns out that poor old Kane was abused as a child.
For having impure thoughts.
And his mother turns out to be that weird old lady that is like
the steward of the hotel.
And yeah, it's all a bit nasty, like, which is fine, but I didn't really want to see Kane rubbing himself. But at one point, the camera turns around and he's actually rubbing just the inside of his leg. Did you notice that?
Yeah, he's doing the old, like, Vic Reeves.
Yeah.
That was the bit where I know this is a podcast, but if you switched the video, you'd have loved it.
Yeah. Both of us just rubbing our legs.
You'd have made a million right there.
So what did you think of that backstory? Did you think it was like was it even needed?
I mean, you've got to have a reason why a killer is a killer. I mean, you don't have to, but a lot of the time there's a requirement. It's certainly, I wouldn't say it's a new concept, the kind of, you know, sexually repressed mama's boy. And, you know, men have never been very good at discussing their sexuality and the things that, you know, they like and don't like, and they don't normally handle it in the healthiest of ways, as, you know, evidenced by the history of the world. So am I surprised that Kane was scolded for leering over nudie pictures and then kept in a cage and water thrown over him, and that he's then become an eye-gouging, like, moral bastion? I'm not surprised, but do I think it justifies his behavior? No, not particularly. Nothing a good therapist, I think, could. But we see that towards the end. I feel like he's really turning a corner, and
he becomes such an upstanding citizen.
He becomes really an ally at that point, and being the. operative cause, because obviously a pipe gets shoved into his. And honestly, if you watch this film, sorry, you know, but
the end scene
is,
oh my god,
it's so good. Like, the CGI is so shonky, it's the fucking Scorpion King PSP cutscene. Like, but the idea of, like, especially the amount of times it gets caught on things during the descent, unbelievable. Yeah. Like, in terms of, like,
yeah,
I can't fault Gregory Dark there.
No, I love the little shot that goes inside his body as he falls. It's like his ribs pierce his heart. Is that is that what I saw? It was very late when I watched.
Any Mortal Kombat player goes, finish him. Like, that looked like a fatality from Mortal Kombat. It's great.
It is, like, if nothing else, you don't watch anything else of this film,
watch
that scene.
Yeah, watch the scene where Kane gets killed. Or does he?
Or does he?
Because
He was already walking around with a hole in his head, though.
Yeah, with maggots coming out the back of it. So he's definitely got sepsisemia, at least. He's not in a good way. He needs a healthy dose of penicillin, at least. But we do find out that 8 years later, the Soska twins, of all people, resurrect the See No Evil franchise to make See No Evil 2, which I sat here last night thinking I could watch the second one. I have it here. It's ready to go. And I decided I didn't want to do that. So despite me knowing that it is actually better than the first one, See No Evil 2 is better, is a better constructed film, makes more sense. I was not, available, decided that I didn't want to waste another 90 minutes of my life watching that again.
Didn't you, though? I mean, it has got some heavy horror hitters like Danielle Harris and Catherine Isabel in it.
Don't get me wrong. There's many reasons. Did you revisit the second one as well?
I did not, because...
Right, so what were you giving me grief for? Yeah, I much prefer the sequel. I think the sequel is better, but I'm going off memory, which is not a good thing normally.
You know what? I'm looking at it and I'm like, I might give it a go. I might do it.
Give it a bash.
Yeah, give it a wee bash. Yeah, so would you recommend See No Evil to horror fans or wrestler fans?
Turns out I gave the second one 1.5 stars. I've just checked. Oh, dear. Mm-hmm. Not enough eye gouges. So turns out neither of these are particularly good.
That's a shame.
No. I would recommend watching the scene where Kane gets chucked out the window at the end, because that's really funny. That is really funny. But these are not good films, and a lot of these films, like House of Wax at this time, which was sort of critically disregarded at the time, but is now getting this kind of revisionist, actually this is very good, you just weren't ready for it at the time, or horror's caught up with the ideas that House of Wax was presenting. There's none of that in See No Evil. There's no ideas in it that are like, oh, this is transgressive. No, it's pure weird misogyny and violence. But not even fun. If you're going to do it, make it fun. And they didn't do that either.
Yeah, I mean, we can look back at this moment in horror history and be like, you know what? Like Eli Roth, bit of a gobshite, Hostel, terribly misogynistic and discriminatory, but there's something behind it. And it is a bit of fun. But yeah. Even stuff like The Collector.
I love The Collector.
Me too. But yeah, you look back at this and you're like, oh, this should stay in, the 1 euro bargain bin.
Yeah. When I was revisiting it last night, I was just like, oh, this was a mistake. Why didn't I just say They Live? Do you know what I mean? I could have just said They Live and we could have moved on. But c'est la vie. C'est la vie.
We learn and we live,
we learn, we grow.
Yeah. As long as you don't have to revisit this on your podcast, you're fine.
I won't.
Move into, yeah.
No, I won't.
No. Okay, let's kick off with my choice then. I went, again, following on with that CM Punk crush I had, I went with Girl on the Third Floor from 2019.
Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. So how's the house coming along?
It's been hard.
Cooper!
Certain places have personalities, and sometimes they're rotten.
Hey, how's the little kicker doing?
Say hi to Daddy.
Takes a real strong hand to turn them around again. This house has a history of bringing out the worst in people.
Certainly creepy.
What the hell is that?
Promise me you won't say a word to Liz about last night.
You need to get out of here.
Yeah, what was that?
What?
Hi, handsome.
I hate what you've done with the place.
I'm worried.
Stop!
Charlie.
Directed by Travis Stevens, starring Phil CM Punk Brooks, who is a man with a shady past, and he decides that he is going to renovate this house before his pregnant wife moves in. While there, he puts his fingers into a lot of goopy holes in more way than one. and he is soon haunted by marbles and a girl that just doesn't get the hint. And she begins to kind of haunt him and stalk him until he goes a little bit batty. What was your experience with seeing this film?
I saw it at Fright Fest 2019 in the Pinch Charles Cinema. I think it was in Scream 1. The first and only time, I'm going to be candid with you, I didn't rewatch it for this because this is your one. So I thought, oh, she'll take the lead in it. And I vaguely remember it because obviously it was a big deal for me at the time as a staunch wrestling fan and certainly a CM Punk fan, you know, pipe bomb era. Obviously, you know, he's back in WWE now. You must know that.
Yeah. I take it they just offered him a lot of money.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And also Vince McMahon's not involved in like the day-to-day anymore. So
okay,
he's back in WWE. I was actually at his last AEW match in when they played Wembley Stadium. I was there for that on my own because I don't have any friends that like wrestling. Well, I do, but not enough that would want to pay money and watch wrestling for 6 hours at Wembley Stadium.
Well, my two friends that you met at Fright Fest, remember I went, they were there and I was like, Brad, and you both kind of went, bleh. They were there at the wrestling. They were over in London for the wrestling. So
I went, bleh.
Well, not bleh, but it was kind of like a passing, like, hi, stranger, why are you introducing me to these strangers?
Is that something you did to me? I get, and the problem is with Fright Fest, I get so much of that. I get very face blind.
That's okay. You
know? I get very face blind. So I'm sorry to Igraine's friends. That, apparently,
you
just
weren't rude. No, you weren't rude. You were just
that's
like,
a relief because normally I'm very rude.
But you know, when someone introduces you randomly to like some random friends just because like they're there and they don't want to be rude.
I'm really hoping Alan Jones retires soon so I can take up the mantle as like biggest cunt in horror. That's really what I'm, you know, like the rudest, not maybe not cunt the right word, but the rudest man in horror. I think that's something I could really lean into, I think, in the future.
I don't know, Brad, lots of people say you're very nice. So I think
I don't like that about me.
You're not, New Year's resolution to be a cunt.
Yeah, it's not really, it's all a ruse. It's all a scam before I pivot. I talked about this on X Rental recently. I'm going to pivot to the right wing, I think, just for a laugh. I'm just easily bought. Crack. So if they give me enough money, I'd just do it, I think.
Who's giving you money to be right wing?
Well, you know, Big Red. Big Red.
Who is this person giving you money?
Big Red, you know, the big conservative shield machine. The people that made fucking Sound of Freedom or whatever, I don't know. Anyway,
just to infiltrate the horror scene, is it?
Yeah, just make it more right wing again.
Yeah.
Like again, it hasn't really ever been right wing, but me and my cronies are going to make it in 2024. This bit's not making the edit, or it probably will anyway. Fuck it, good content, isn't it?
This is your evil villain origin story.
This is our you're the genesis point. So good luck to that.
Honored.
Good luck to you.
Honored.
Thank you. Anyway, we got very distracted there. I remember liking the film. I didn't love it. I think Travis has done some more interesting things since. Because once again, ironically, and this is the question I want to pose to you, was a lot of the blowback from Girl on the Third Floor when it first came out was that it was quite misogynistic.
I wouldn't have said that.
You didn't say it, but I'm telling you that I've heard from a lot of horror folks, not from my right wing lads.
I was just about to be like, really?
Yeah, it's a false flag operation. For example, Becky Dark.
Right.
Walked out.
Oh.
Weren't having it. Didn't like it.
Interesting.
So I've got receipts.
You have your receipts.
I have one receipt.
You have one. Just the one.
I don't know. I didn't particularly see it, but I think he as a character is misogynistic, but the whole point of it is that he is and becomes the foil of the house's sort of revenge plot, shall we say.
Yeah, I mean, is it a feminist masterpiece with a strong commentary on? No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
It's more distracting how, like, one of the things, right? Everyone was like, oh, CM Punk's acting's really good in it. I'm like, no, it's not. He can't even make a good sex face. Like, imagine having sex with that. Like, bleh. No. Crush, ended. Lady Boner, gone.
Gone. Back to Roman Reigns. He's only been in Fast X. He can't fuck the can't fuck that up.
But no, I mean, I can see it from that point of view. But it's a revenge film. It's like the ghost of the sex worker that was buried and
yeah.
And
I didn't personally have an issue with it, but that was a criticism that I saw levied at it at the time.
Okay.
And, you know, I think what Travis did with Jacob's wife was almost kind of like a sort of a counterpoint to that. You know, like he did his kind of like man horror. And then Jacob's wife was like his woman horror as like a apologia.
Yeah.
Is one interpretation of why he made the films in that order. Isn't there another? Isn't he done another film since as well?
The Wounded Fawn.
Oh, yeah, that's the middle ground one. You see, that's man and woman.
Yeah.
There you go, done. He's finished. Make a kid one next, Travis. That's the next one, isn't it? Then a very old lady one, and then a very old man one. Then a dog.
Oh, the dog in this film. Oh, when he finds the head in the dryer. I was like, oh.
Not good. Not good.
Where is it?
But I respect the film for how much cum is in this film.
Oh my god. So like that was, so I watched it at IFI Horrorthon in 2019 because me and my friends were going on a bit of a CM Punk's now becoming an actor, let's go watch his film. So he was in Rabid. I think Rabid terrible. Came out first.
Yeah, terrible.
And then this came out and we were like, grand, we'll go see him. And the only thing I can remember is the vagina walls and the amount of cum. And that scene where he's trying to get the shower to work and the shower head just comes all over him. And so much goop. I'm like, why would you stick your hands into a goopy wall? Stop doing that.
Oh, no, you'd lead with the penis, wouldn't you? I mean, yeah, there is plenty of times where he's picking at stuff and I'm like, it's oozing. Just leave it alone. Like, if I'm touching anything and pus and stuff starts coming, or whatever, you know, unidentified milky, creamy liquid starts coming out, I'm out. I'm not exploring that any further.
No.
But he seems to not be able to resist poking away.
Yeah, he does love a good poke. Yeah, it's just, yeah, I mean, I get that he's not meant to be a likable character. He's not, you know, like he's
a good guy.
He's not a good guy. No. He tries. He thinks talking to a pastor absolves him of everything.
Of his deviancy in the past.
Yeah. I will give it, though. There is that scene with the box cutter that fucked me up because I have a really bad fear of box cutters.
I don't blame you. They're very sharp.
It's that scene in Green Room just got me.
Oh, yeah, with the arm.
Yeah, yeah.
His arm looks like a scored gammon afterwards.
Yeah. So then in this film where... What was with the marbles? I know there was like the little girl playing with the marbles and that was the whole thing, but I didn't get the marble thing. And then the marbles go up inside him. And he's
I don't know. I mean, basically, it turns out the house he's renovating used to be a whorehouse or a bordello or however you want to, whatever words you want to use to describe it. Flop house, that's another one, isn't it?
A flop house. Again, flop with house. The flopping and the limping. Like, it's not something you want to hear when it comes to sex.
No, you want to go to a hard house.
a
rigid room. On an erected bed. So that's the kind of the history or the lineage of that. The marbles, I think, is there's no real like metaphor behind them. I think they're just an iconography, like a thing that you can have and use and be tactile. You know, certain things become, like the box cutter in Green Room, become like part of a film's DNA. And for some reason, these marbles, which I think are purely an aesthetic choice or a reason, but then, as you say, at the end, they're all like swirly around, aren't they, and going in him and then making him like, so you'd have to ask Travis.
I will, next time I interview him.
How many times have you interviewed Travis?
Just once.
That's more.
But he was very nice.
It's one more than me. They don't let me talk to talent.
No, I couldn't imagine, especially with your newfound evolution into
right-wing propaganda.
Yeah.
It's gonna. Well, I'll get some people.
Yeah, probably.
I'll get Mel Gibson. quite a big get, to be fair.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, if you end up getting him, I'll be like, all right,
fair enough,
Brad. We won't put you away just yet.
Mel Gibson on Next Rental.
Oh,
how the mighty have fallen.
Brad Hansen no longer allowed to podcast.
Gone.
Yeah. I just thought there was a lot of choices in this film that I thought were just, I mean, saying, oh, it's strange, but it's Travis Stevens. Like, he's a little bit strange, you know, and that's fine. I'll forgive him that because he's nice and he's handsome and, you know, whatever. But it was just the whole, like, is this meant to represent, you know, this man's and all men's bad foundations and trying to cover up the badness? And you can't just become a nice husband and father, because if you've got bad foundations,
you're rotten at the core.
Yeah.
I mean, potentially. I mean, if anything, I mean, me making this this continual right wing pivot joke and you thinking that I was nice is atypical of what this film is really trying to.
I didn't say you were nice. Other people have said you're nice.
Right. Well, those people are drunks and lushes, most of them. You know, I think it's quite a fatalistic or quite a depressing concept, right? That no matter how much good you intend to do it, what the film is saying is, however, like, we can all have a checkered past, we can all have things that we're not proud of, you know, me and my band in the last one, which we talked about.
I had so many people be like, tell me the name of the band.
Did you tell them?
I did, yeah, and they said it wasn't that bad, so you're
it
okay.
It isn't as bad, but it could be red. But you know, it doesn't matter how many, like, but yeah, but the film's message being like, it doesn't matter how hard you try, you know, once you're a piece of shit, you're a piece of shit for life. You know, it's not the greatest message to tell people, but maybe there's an element of truth to it. You know, like, these people that have done the heinous things, you see these people, you know, on the street that preach the word of God,
mm-hmm.
and you know that those people, like, they're really loud and they've got microphones and megaphones. They're inherently people that have done probably some of the most fucked up shit going, mm-hmm. because they feel such a need, like, because you have to get into the mindset of, like, what would make you want to go out and preach the word of God in this instance, or whatever religion, but particularly you see a lot of street preachers from a Christian standpoint, mm-hmm. say, like, oh, I need to be out on a megaphone in the freezing cold screaming to people about how they should accept the Lord Jesus Christ. It's probably because they've done some truly heinous fucked up shit and they're like making amends for the things that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that it's quite for Travis Stevens to posit that it doesn't matter how much good you intend to do to fix the mistakes you made in the past, you can never outrun them. It's quite a depressing thought, really, that no one can ever truly get better.
Yeah, it is a bit. First off, I'm like, yeah, House, you get it. He's weird and he calls himself King Don or whatever it was. Like, that's that deserves punishment. But at the same time, yeah, just for that, you know.
Just that alone, yeah.
But at the same time, like, the scene where the ghost girl or whatever she is, like, seduces him, she tricks him into thinking it's his wife. So I'm kind of like, that's not really, you know, that's false.
Where's the consent there?
That's false pretenses.
Mm.
So I do feel bad for him. But, you know, at the beginning of the film, he is watching, like, this porn with, you know, girls being like, hey, daddy. You're just like, bleh. Bleh.
Some men like that.
I mean, look.
I would like to go on record just now that I'm not one of those men. I've had it come up in the past and I've nipped it in the bud. Which in anything makes me look more like a father. So I can't. I can't really win.
I'm feeding into this.
Nope. Quiet time now. Inside voices.
that's creeped me out. But yeah. Look, listen, I do. Perhaps when we think about the whole misogyny thing again, you're like, okay, yes, men are punished or whatever. But I feel it's kind of unfair on the wife as well. She goes in and she's also tested that if she says she's going to stick by him, they're going to punish her as well. And because she was like, I'm done with you, King Don. Like, I'm done with you. You're a little bit unhinged here with your arm cutting ribbons. Mm. And the ghost goes, well done. You survived my test. You can go free. And then the pastor that lives across the road that knows about the house, knows what it does, goes to her, well, yeah, I know all about it, but I had to make sure you passed the test. And you're just like, you people are terrible. Look, you're terrible people.
Yeah, this isn't the moralistic lesson you think it is. But, you know, some people, we should celebrate women for leaving toxic men.
Yes.
That is something, you know, when Lily eventually comes to her senses. So she's going to...
Don't worry, we'll hold an intervention for her.
Oh, she'll be lauded. She'll be lauded around. But, you know, I think it's a fun, and we're having certainly a more in-depth conversation even now in the last 5 minutes than we ever did with anything in See No Evil. So you've won this round. Congratulations. Enjoy the money, Jane.
Thanks. Now get out. Yes. Look, listen, I think it was... Yeah, I think he has done better things since. And I'm glad that he's worked with better actors.
Granted. Big Barb. Don't come for Barb. I'll be really angry if you come for Barb.
Of course not. Who could come for Barb?
No, exactly.
She's a babe.
She is a babe. But that guy, the guy in Wounded Fawn, he's great. You know the guy?
The guy who plays the killer.
Yeah, that guy. He's good. He's a good actor.
Okay. I can't remember his name.
I can't remember either. He's so good. Don't know his name.
Josh Rubin.
Yes, good actor. Annoying as fucking scare me, but other than that, good actor.
Oh, he was in Werewolves Within as well. I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
Yeah. Okay.
I've put together a little list of other wrestlers in film for you.
Go for it. I didn't like catch you unprepared this time.
No.
Land it on you.
Yeah, it's fine. So one of the big ones is, of course, pro wrestlers versus zombies.
You should have picked that one.
Yeah, I mean, there's like 30 wrestlers in that one. I think Kurt Angle, Big Daddy Cool, Diesel, Big Sexy Kevin Nash, Shane Douglas, they're all in it. Everyone's in it. Of course, the reason for this entire episode is Bill Goldberg plays Santa in Santa's Sleigh, which is a wonderful little Christmas movie in which Santa is a murderous man played by a giant wrestler who ended Bret Hart's career. Diamond Dallas Page, the former WCW champion, can be found in The Devil's Rejects as one of the bounty hunters, with Danny Trejo as his accomplice. So good to see DDP. Obviously, Triple H, Triple Nipple, The Game, the Cerebral Assassin, is in Blade Trinity. As the kind of big henchman lug that Ryan Reynolds has to kind of fight. Like, how could we forget Hornswoggle and his turn as the Leprechaun in WWE Studios Leprechaun Origins, the worst Leprechaun movie out of a bad bunch. The Miz's wife, Maryse, is in Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No, along with Chris Jericho, who you will also find in the Terrifier movies. Chris Jericho is also famously in the Terrifier movies. Going further back, Jesse the Body Ventura, former governor, was in Predator. Obviously, that's a big one. Obviously, The Rock's been in shit, but we don't really give a shit about that. And of course, as previously mentioned, I would say the actual greatest performance by a wrestler in a horror movie is Rowdy Roddy Piper in They Live. John Carpenter's kind of, you know, cerebral sci-fi consumerist nightmare, I would say, is probably the strongest wrestler performance in one of the strongest wrestler based films. Have you got any more to add to the Pong?
What was that? The Dave Bautista one where it was like Army of the Dead.
It's a Zack Snyder thing. We don't talk about
where that. He like spends half the film talking about his melted cheese sandwich chuck or whatever it is.
Yeah, we don't talk. Yeah. It's Zack Snyder. Don't get involved with Snyder, mate. Then they all start coming out of the woodwork.
And I'm devastated that you don't think that Scorpion King is worth
it. obviously Scorpion King and like the Rock stuff.
And Mummy 2. Was it the Mummy 2? That was his first.
That was the Mummy, yeah. He hasn't, the news has just come out that he's teaming with A24 to make a thriller, The Rock.
I saw that.
So maybe we prematurely blew our wads on this, so to speak.
We'll return in a year or so.
When he manages to tank A24, the powerhouse that is A24, finally buckles under the weight of the people's elbow. Straight down.
There was talk of a Wyatt family film, wasn't there? Obviously, before Bray Wyatt.
Two thirds of them are dead.
Yeah. But there was talks of I would have liked a film. I think
I'd have loved a bit more Bray, because Bray was obviously before he passed, using his fiend character. The mask was designed by obviously horror royalty Tom Savini and Tom Savini Studio for making a lot of his iconography in what he was doing with the fiend character. And that was one of what I liked about that as well is the WWE kind of celebrated that and were like mentioning Tom Savini on WWE TV. And it, certainly Bray Wyatt made Wyndham Rotunda made no like wasn't ashamed of his horror fandom and was kind of celebrating it at all available opportunities. So it would have been great. I think he'd have been amazing in any horror film, really. He had really, you know, if they had made like a new Wrong Turn or something, he'd have been great in that, you know.
Yeah, there was another horror film that came out, it was in Fright Fest last year, and it had a guy playing a wrestler, but one of the bad guys was an indie wrestler in it. And I cannot remember what it's called. And it's actually quite good.
Here for Blood?
Yes, that's the one. Thank you. Very good. That was like based around wrestling, and a few of the fight scenes were like mini wrestling matches.
Yeah, like power bombs and stuff. Because I always love it when like a killer does like a choke slam or something, you know, like when they like lift him up and do a move. I always like it. And it's even better when you get the wrestler to do the wrestling move of its move. The move, like the, I think Triple H does the pedigree in Blade Trinity. And I know that when the first thing The Rock did on TV was Star Trek.
Really?
Yeah, he was like a pit fighter in like a Star Trek Next Generation's Patrick Stewart one. It was the first thing. And in that, he's almost like a cage fighter, but in space. Mm. And he does the Rock Bottom. And I was like, oh my God.
I feel like that's what was missing from See No Evil.
Chokeslam.
Yeah, just
I don't remember any chokeslams.
It's all the hook.
It's all hooks, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to give someone a tombstone pole driver. I think like something Victor Crowley could do, you know, in the Hatchet movies. If he did that, everyone would be like, well, that makes sense because, you know, it's Hatchet. But you don't, I think it's hard to get a tombstone into a movie and make it look, because it effectively all it is a standing 69, isn't it? So it doesn't look.
I mean, if anyone but the director of See No Evil could do it, you know,
he's probably done loads of tombstone pile driver, you know, positions before.
Exactly.
He knows the blocking. He knows it. Oh, we could make it, but cowardly. But yeah, that's wrestlers and horror.
Wrestlers and horror. Do you think there's going to be much more wrestling in horror? You know, I'm thinking about the future. What is the future for wrestling in horror, Brad Hanson?
Well, listen, I think as long as there are wrestlers, there will be wrestlers in horror films. Will there be failed wrestlers? Like, do I expect to see Roman Reigns turn up in The Exorcist Reliver or whatever?
Oh, I'd love that.
Would you?
I would, yeah. That would go top number one of my...
Straight away.
Yeah.
All Misforgiven. A shirtless Roman Reigns in an Exorcist movie.
Couldn't be any worse than her.
Couldn't be any worse. But, you know, there are certain wrestlers I'd love to see in horror movies. You know, I'd love to see Cody Rhodes in a horror movie. I think he'd be quite funny. I think Aleister Black, who was was Tommy End. Do you know this guy?
No.
He's a Dutch wrestler. He wrestles in the House of Black.
Okay.
And his name is now... No, his name was Aleister Black. Now his name is...
Oh, he's a bit all right, yeah.
Yeah, I thought you'd like it. He's really tattooed. Kickboxer. Yeah, he's really tattooed. He's got a beard. He's got long hair. So I know what you like. And he's in a group with Buddy Matthews and Brody King. You'd like Brody King as well, I think.
Yeah.
Brody King is also the singer of a band called God's Hate, who are a metal band. So full circle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You like a bit of Brody?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Big boy.
Yeah, you know who else I really liked for a while? What was his name? Cody? No. And he became a commentator, and he was a bit punky looking.
Oh, Corey Graves.
Thank you, Corey Graves. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, Corey Graves. He still is a commentator.
Is he?
Mm.
Yeah.
He's got that like psychobilly look to him.
Yeah. Yeah, he could still get it. Yeah.
He'd probably be, he's married to Carmella now. I know all about the wrestling. I know all about the wrestling. The whole thing on what the wrestlers are up to right now. But yeah, I mean, yeah, put Rollins in a horror movie. It's obviously like Dean Ambrose did action film. There's been
I remember that one.
Yeah. And then The Miz and Steve Austin and Randy Orton have all done sort of these like weird WWE studio action movies like Undisputed and all these other sort of films. So there will always be wrestlers in films, but there's not enough wrestlers in horror films, as illustrated by the list.
Yeah.
We need a few more. So
we do. We do. Just perhaps not CM Punk because, you know, it's not great. Not great at the old acting.
Well, he's not really great at anything. For someone who purports to be the best in the world, doesn't seem to be very good at anything, but never mind.
Thank you so much, Brad, for coming on and indulging me. And I'm sorry for screaming at you in capitals.
Listen, this is what I'm at your beck and call. Whenever you get the any mad idea that you think that I'm suitable for, which
right
wing
and horror. next subject.
Next, let me get my suit on first. then, you know, I'll be there with bells on. It's my absolute pleasure.
Thanks so much. Do you want to remind people of your social media handles, or do you just want them to fuck off and leave you alone? It's up to you.
No, I mean, I'll always take another follow, that get that little bit of endorphin in. So you can find me on all social media at Had Branson. I have my own little podcast with my friend Ash called X Rental, in which we discuss the video shop experience of the 90s and 90s associated films. And you can often find me haunting up the aisles of Evolution of Horror and Stevie's Brain Rot, doing all manner of silly shit, depending on what they make me do.
Yeah, and what they allow you to do from now on, since you've just
my switch. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my discussion about wrestlers in horror with Brad Hansen. And together we chatted about See No Evil, starring Kane, from 2006, and 2019's Girl on the Third Floor, starring CM Punk. What did you think of this week's episode? What is your favourite film with a wrestler involved? I'm going to go out on a limb and say the majority of people are going to say They Live, starring Rowdy Roddy Piper. I don't know why we didn't choose that film, to be honest. I think that would have been the more sensible and suitable choice. But look, listen, we live, we learn, we persevere. You can get in touch with me over at Twitter at @what_scream, as well as Instagram at @whatascream. And you can also check out the website, www.whatascreampodcast.com, where you can keep up with editorials and reviews of all the latest films. And don't forget to also rate, review, subscribe on whatever podcast platform you are listening to me on. I hope everyone is doing really well and enjoying a horror that has been coming out. I'm very excited to see The First Omen. I think that's the next big thing, the next big film being released. I'm very excited for that. As well as there's recently been first looks at the new Alien film by Fede Alvarez. Although I'm not a big fan of the Alien franchise, I am a fan of Fede Alvarez. So that'll be interesting. And I hope he keeps it grim. you know, I think that is what will bring me into that franchise, is if it's really grim. And knowing Alvarez's work, I think I might just get my wish. So as usual, stay horrific. Goodbye.